In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, the great Russian writer Dostoevsky says, beauty will save the world. And in the Lord we see true beauty. In his teaching we see true beauty. In today's parable we see true beauty. This beautiful parable about the prodigal son and his loving and compassionate father. This is a parable given to us on our way to the season of preparation for Pascha, on our way to Great Lent. And it speaks to us about a return to this compassionate father, a return to the kingdom of heaven, a return to life eternal. And it's given to inspire us to make this return, this journey together, as brothers and sisters, as one family. This parable is well known and can be seen on many different levels. There's a simple, basic moral level on how we should live our life, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. This parable, there's also about the human race in its entirety and how we have left our heavenly fatherland. We've left the Lord's house, we've left paradise, and we've come to a far-off land. Foreign country, a place that God didn't intend for us to go. This is where we squander what God has given to us. And of course, the great famine comes upon each and every one of us, all who dwell in this land. And this is a famine not just where we hunger or thirst, but a famine where we run out of the most important thing, life. The famine of death comes to each and every one of us in this far-off country. And of course, it awakens us. It brings us to our senses, like the prodigal son. It is this mindfulness of death that makes us come to terms with reality and to do something about it. Without this mindfulness of death, without the knowledge of our own mortality, we might be happy just trying to stay here forever and ever. In a life that falls way short of what God has created for us. In the two sons, we see every aspect of the human condition. In the younger son, the prodigal, we see self-will, pleasure-loving, recklessness, self-centeredness, egotism. We see all of these negative things. But as the parable unfolds, we also see humility, repentance, obedience, and thankfulness. In the older son, we see in the beginning of the parable great things. He's loyal. He's hardworking. He's ethical. But as the parable unfolds, we see that he has become judgmental, slow to forgive, self-righteous, and angry. And of course, in the Father, we see the constancy of virtue, patience, wisdom. He's actively compassionate. He's forgiving. He's instructive. He's encouraging. And most of all, from beginning to end, he's loving. He loves his sons, both of them. No matter what their condition, no matter what they're going through, he loves them from beginning to end. This is a parable that speaks to us really about life in the church. Because we all know, as we come face to face with this famine, with this death, that we look for answers, we look for solutions, and we come to the Messiah, the one promised to the human race, who would overcome this. And we make that return. And in Christ, God comes and embraces us. And though we just want to be servants in the Master's house, he once again says, you are my son, you are my daughter. Put on the baptismal garment. Put the ring on the finger. Sandals under his feet. Kill the fatted calf. we will feast. And in the church, we partake of that already. We receive this love of God, and we feast with Him. But the journey home is not so much just about coming to a place. The journey home is about coming to God and becoming like Him. In the parable, there's the other son, the older son, who is at home all the time. If you will, he's a member of the church. But he's not actually becoming like his father. He's in the church, but he's not being changed. And we see this so clearly in the parable. Where did the older son go wrong? When his brother returned home, and the father killed the fatted calf, had this great feast, and he was angry. He wasn't like his father in compassion and in love. But actually, we really look, we'll see that the older son actually went wrong even before that. Well, where did he go wrong? Does anyone know? He went wrong when he didn't journey with his father to receive his brother. You notice in conversation, the son and the father meet, they embrace on the road, and the son has a whole list of things he's going to say to his father. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He starts this dialogue, and the father cuts him off. And what does he say? He says to the servants, get the best robe, get the ring, get the sandals, kill the fatted calf. The servants are there on the road with the father, but the son is not. The servants have a greater likeness to the father than the son. If you will, the older son became the prodigal at that moment when he left his father. He left his father by staying home. He left his father by not loving and seeking out the lost, even his own brother. These last three Sundays have been given to us to think about our relationship with each other. Zacchaeus was seen in the context of the people of Jericho. Those who railed against the Lord, he's gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. The publican who came into the temple, falling down on his face, crying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner," was upbraided by the Pharisee, who was glad he wasn't like that man. And today, the older brother rails against the younger brother. And in each case, we see that the relationship at the human level that we have with one another also illustrates that invisible, hidden relationship that we have with God. We see by the way the people of Jericho related to Zacchaeus, what their relationship was like with God. We see the way the Pharisee dealt with the publican, the way his relationship was with God. And we see the way the older brother dealt with the younger brother, that it shows forth his relationship with the Father, who images for us God in the parable. Brothers and sisters, in the back of the church, you see a sign. Kathy, can you turn that sign around and tell me what it says?
Welcome home.
Welcome home. What a beautiful message. That is the message of this parable. That is the message of this church. That is the message of the God of this church. Welcome home. And he says it to each and every one of us. Whether we think we're like the younger son or whether we think we're like the older son, both of them were welcomed home. I want you all to pause for a moment and think about the first time you entered into the Orthodox Church. Think about the first time that you came home. Think about maybe the apprehension that you had. Maybe you were nervous. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know if you would fit in. You didn't know if you'd be welcomed. You didn't know if it was the place for you. For those who have been Orthodox all your lives, most likely, at some point in your life, there was some measure of falling away. We all go through this. And think about the feelings that we have when we try to return to the church after that falling away. We have those same exact feelings. It's difficult to come back into the church. It's difficult to come to the church for the first time. But honestly, if we're doing our job right, if we're becoming like our Heavenly Father, it should not be difficult, it should be easy. We should be welcoming people, not when they come through the doors, but when they're still out on the journey. We should seek them out and tell them, I know that God loves you. I know that God will receive you because I know that God loves me and has received me. Maybe you feel like the prodigal. Maybe you feel like the older son. I exemplify them both. I waste my life in this age. I live for myself. I finally come to my senses when I say, all right, I'm mortal. I've got to turn back to the God who is life. And having come back to the church, I sit there in judgment of others. I look and I see all of their faults. And I see all of the good things about me. I know what it's like to have the Father say to me, Son, all that I have is yours. Love your brother. We are people who are on a journey. And it's always good to have a pause on that journey and to think about where we're heading, to whom we're heading, who we're traveling with, and how we can make that journey faster, better, safer, more united, and how others need to be welcomed into that journey too. Brothers and sisters, that is a simple sign printed on a computer. But that message, welcome home, has to be imprinted upon our lives, our minds, our hearts, the way we carry ourselves, the way we converse with one another. That's fine. It could remain there all the time, and eventually it'll lose its potency. But what can't lose its potency is the spirit of this community. We have to have that constancy that the Father exemplifies. Brothers and sisters, we are all sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Let us act like it. Let us become like Him. And let us welcome others to do just the same. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.